And we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you again for your words, and thank you, Lord, that we have opportunity to sing songs about you and read your words, Lord, openly in this country. And Father, we pray for those that are hurting, those that are have ailments today, Lord, that you would just somehow work some miracle in their lives, Lord. Just not that we look for miracles, Lord, but we know that you can perform them even to this day, and just heal them. And we know you can heal, and we wish that you would do that, and we hope that you would. But if you don't, we still know that you're there, Lord, and we still rely on your words. And that's what we're going to do this morning, and rely on your words. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay. Let me open up to this. Not that I use these ones anyway. Just in case I run out of material, I can go to this one and see if we can dig anything up. All right. We're in verse 28. The Bible says, "Verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." He's talking to his disciples, and he's telling them that there's going to be some disciples, right, that they're not going to die until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That's what he's saying. And this is a literal kingdom in Matthew. It's the kingdom of heaven here that it's referring to. It's already here, the kingdom of heaven. Some may argue that, but that's the way I believe it to be. And we're waiting for Jesus to come and take that kingdom over and take control of it, okay? Right now, the devil has control of the kingdoms of this earth. And one day, he's going to be dethroned. And Jesus is going to take that throne, okay? And he's going to take what the devil was offering him when he was on the earth, and the devil was tempting him. He's going to take those, but in his time, not the devil's time. Okay, so he hasn't come into control of this kingdom yet. But there's also, folks, another kingdom that is not mentioned here in Matthew that's going to show up. Now go with me, if you would, to Luke 9. Luke 9. Luke 9, verse 27. We'll read, 9:27. "But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." Well, I thought this kingdom of God was a spiritual kingdom that was within you. How can you see this? How can you see this? But this is the kingdom of God. And the Bible says they are both going to be visual at the second coming. They're both, you may see them. And so we have to analyze what these disciples are going to see, that those that aren't going to taste of death until they see the Son of God coming, right, in his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. And notice, it's in his kingdom. He's not coming with his kingdom. He's coming in his kingdom. And here we're going to see the kingdom of God. And so we have to analyze these verses. What are these guys going to see? What are these guys going to see? And so we'll look at that a little bit later. Matthew chapter 17. We got through 16. Isn't that something? Verse 1. "And after 6 days... Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart." Okay, after 6 days, what comes after the number 6? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, right? We don't know exactly what he's saying by reading the Matthew account, And so we have to go back and look at the Luke account again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 9. I think it's there. Yeah, verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings. So about 8, and after 6, we can determine is 7. 7 days, right? And so now we know that seven is a number of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God coming in. Or him coming in. And it's the number of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And so, what is the 1,000-year reign, folks? It's a time of rest, is it not? What did Jesus Christ, or what did God do after his creation, after the 6th day? He rested. And so we have his kingdom coming in. We have 1,000 years where Jesus Christ will reign on this earth without any devilish influence, right? And it's going to be a time of rest. And the Bible says, if you would, go with me in 2 Peter 3:8. 2 Peter 3:8. The Bible says, is that 2 Peter? Is it 1:8? Let me look at. Am I looking? Oh, I'm in 2 Peter. I'm in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3:8. Yeah, 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And so, one day in Genesis is a day, right? But one day could also be 1,000 years with the Lord. So on the 7th day, he could be looking at as 1,000 years that they're going to be at rest. And so, and we're not to be ignorant of that. That God's timing is not necessarily our timing. And his numbers are not necessarily what we think the numbers should be. It's what he thinks. And so we have to look at the scriptures and see and determine what he's saying by these things. And so we can determine that, hey, he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And it's going to be on the 7th day. Simple as that. It's a 7 is the number of the kingdom. And so let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 17, verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Do you know what Jesus Christ is called in Matthew 4, 2? He's called the Son of Righteousness. Go with me if you would there. We'll look that up. It's spelled S-U-N, not S-O-N. Malachi 4:2. The Bible says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise." What's he going to do? "With healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth, and grope as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord." When the kingdom comes in, he's burning people up, folks. And they're going to be ashes, and people are going to be walking on them. What did we go through last week? He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes in flaming fire, those that don't know him, poof, burn up. are going to become ashes. So he's called the son of righteousness. And there's also, there's a sign of the second coming. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 27. We'll start there. Matthew 24, 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear. If everything is dark, folks, and something is shown up, it's got to be light. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They're going to see him. And for many people, folks, they're going to wish they weren't seeing him. They're going to wish they never see him. And he's going to be shining. And so Israel, out of the caves in Selah Petra, out of the dark, where the death cloud is overshadowing them, they're going to be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a sign. And Israel, the Jews, require a sign. And they're going to get one. And Jesus, they're going to see Jesus coming. So is everybody else. And so a sign is associated with this second coming. Matthew chapter 17. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. There's two witnesses associated with the second coming. Now, in order to understand this, you have to realize, when does the second coming begin? When does it actually begin? Well, it's going to begin, folks, with what man calls the rapture. Right? That's the first part of that second coming. He's coming back to get people off this earth. And so two witnesses are associated with the second coming. And they show up, they're going to show up in Revelation 11. And those two witnesses appear to be Moses and Elias or Elijah. That's who they're going to be. And so Moses, he pictures the law. And Elijah, Elias here pictures the prophets, folks. Look with me, if you would, in Romans 3. Romans 3. Verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And so these people, these two people, they're going to witness of the righteousness of God. And folks, the righteousness of God is not the law. The righteousness of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to witness to their Jewish brethren and to everyone else that hears about the Lord Jesus Christ in the tribulation. Because they need to believe on him. And so they're going to be witnessing of the righteousness of God in the tribulation. Go back with me if you would to Matthew 17, verse 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. Folks, Peter, he just has to say something. He can't keep his mouth shut. He just can't. And the Lord uses this later on, but right now, nobody wants to hear what Peter has to say. God doesn't even want to hear what he has to say. And God himself rebukes Peter right in front of everyone because he opens up his mouth. Peter doesn't even know what he's saying. Go with me, if you would, to Luke. He doesn't even know what he's saying. He's just saying something. And you think women have a problem talking? Look at Peter, right? He just yapping. Luke 9. So women, anytime somebody says women, all they do is yap, 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 yap. Or crow, 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 crow. Hey, all they got to do is say, look at Peter. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. At least we know what we're talking about. Luke 9. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about an eighth. That's a hard one for me. And it came to pass, verse 28. And about an eight. That's just hard for me to pronounce that, to run that with a sentence. But it's there, and we have to read it as it is. After these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. That's what it means to be transfigured, folks. Your countenance is altered. So if you want the definition of transfigured, here it is. His countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and spake of his deceits, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavily with sleep, and they were awake. They saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. Isn't that something? He doesn't even know what he's talking about. And God shuts him up. And he basically tells Peter, hey, you need to hear what Jesus has to say. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say, Peter, especially at this point in time. That's basically what God has done, is rebuked him. And that's what we see. Now, there's going to be tabernacles, folks, a tabernacle associated with the second coming. And that's the Feast of Tabernacles. That's found in Zechariah 14, 16 to 21. And Pastor's got some other references there in his Bible. The Common Man's Reference Bible. He's got good notes there. And there's no need for me to go over that stuff, right? So that stuff you guys can do on your own, and we'll just keep moving on. But you'll find that it's going to be required by all nations to keep that feast during the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. So God interrupts Peter while he's talking here, and he basically tells him, "Hey, you gotta start talking less and listening more." So, folks, now you starting to see the similarities here with the second coming and with the transfiguration? You starting to see these similarities? So, Matthew 24, 30, if you go there, you'll see that clouds are associated with this transfiguration, and clouds are associated with the second coming of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24:30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. And he's coming in the clouds. How did he leave? He left in a cloud. Acts 1:11. He left in a cloud. And that's the same way he's coming back. The Bible says, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them. Verse 10 we'll start in. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? Up into heaven. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Right? He went up in a cloud. Where does that say that at? It doesn't? I thought it did. Yeah. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, doesn't in the verses I read, but it does in the one previous. While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And so he's coming back the same way. And so clouds are associated with the second coming. You have clouds here in the transfiguration. God's talking out of them. There's going to be light. You're going to see Jesus coming. He's going to be shining. He's going to be shining as the sun. And so the sun is associated with the kingdom of heaven, or with the second coming. And it's associated with the transfiguration here. And so when the Lord says that there is going to be some standing here that shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, Matthew chapter 16, and see the kingdom of God, Luke 9, this is happening right before these disciples' eyes. Okay, and so the riddle has been solved. Okay, the disciples died. They didn't see the second coming didn't happen. Really, they saw it. They saw it right here. And so, and Jesus doesn't waste any time. When he says they're going to see it, look at what he does. The very next six verses, here you have it. Isn't that something? Go back, if you would, to Matthew 16, verse 6. And when the disciples heard it, after they hear God talking out of this cloud, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. Makes you kind of wonder, folks, what God really sounds like when he starts to speak. Right? I mean, if he's just speaking words, man. But when God speaks those words, he's holy and just. And when man speaks them, really, I mean, sometimes, you know, there's power coming out of man's mouth. But most of the time, you're just sitting here and you're trying to learn something from the Bible, right? But when God speaks, there's power coming out of his voice, folks. And it's referenced in Revelation to many waters. Man, it's got to be either beautiful or dreadful, one of the two. But every time you hear somebody hearing God speak to them, they're falling on their faces. And when Jesus shows the Roman army the power that comes out of his mouth, they fell backwards. And imagine when he speaks, when he comes back. They don't have to do anything. The people are going to be asking for the rocks to cry on them, and you would think that they would. They can get off the hook that easy. They're getting burned up. And so John goes through this twice, folks. Look if you would, in Revelation 1:17. He goes through the same thing twice. Revelation 1:17. The Bible says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. But go, let's read up a couple more verses. He hears something. Okay, verse 15. We'll start in verse 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool. Now he sees the Lord Jesus here. His hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters, and in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, there you have it again, S-U-N, shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. So John goes through this twice, right? He goes through the same thing twice. He sees the Lord in his glory. And the first time it was before his crucifixion, the second time was after his crucifixion. And I don't know if it's the same appearance. It seems like as the Lord appears, people don't even recognize him at times. He appears one place like somebody one way, and then he appears in another place like somebody another way. Why is that? Probably because men would make an image if they knew exactly, if they saw him one way and it was always the same way. They'd make an image and they'd put it up on the wall where people could bow down and worship the image. Folks, people that want to have a God experience, they want God to speak to them. And there's people out there that do. There's people that want to go to heaven and see God, right? I do, in his time. But there's unsaved people that want to have a revelation of God too. And if God were to reveal himself and to speak to people, they'd fall on their face and they'd be sore afraid. They'd be sore afraid. Remember the account with Moses. When he went up in the mountain to receive the law from God, and God's speaking, and the people are hearing this thunderings and seeing these lightnings and everything. And what happens? They remove themselves because they were afraid. And they, what do they say? Moses, we'll listen to you. You speak to God and we'll listen to what you have to say. We don't want to talk to him. They were afraid. Folks, there's times where you're going to be afraid of God. There's times when you're going to be afraid of him. And this shows you that's so. Now, let's understand what's happened here. In the Matthew passage, you have the kingdom of heaven, right? And what do you have there? You have Jesus and Moses and Elias. His name is Elijah. In the New Testament, it's Elias. And they're in glory, right? Peter, James, and John, they're not in glory. They're not in glory. And so Peter, James, and John, they're going to represent the nation of Israel, right? They're going to represent the nation of Israel that survive during the tribulation and that get to enter into the kingdom of heaven, right? They're going to enter in. And now, if you would, go with me. If you would, there's a multitude of people that when they come down off the mountain. Let's see what we got. Verse 14, and when they were come down, come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying. So they come down out of the mountain here, and they meet up with this multitude. This multitude is going to symbolize the nations, right? They're going to those nations are going to have to know God. Those people that make up the nations are going to have to know God. And they're going to be brought in after Jesus sets up his kingdom. And because they meet the qualifications. that Jesus set forth in Matthew. They're going to meet those qualifications. Now, and so there's the kingdom of heaven. Now, in the Luke passage, it's the kingdom of God. Moses, he represents the dead that get resurrected. Right? Elias and enter the kingdom. Elias represents those that get translated and get to enter the kingdom. Christians are going to be translated. Christians are going to be are going to die and get resurrected and go into the kingdom. You have there in the Luke passage, you have Peter, James, and John. They're still not, they still don't have glorified bodies there. So they still represent those Jews that enter the kingdom under the qualifications that Jesus set forth. He set those forth in the previous chapter. They have to seek God. They have to know God. They have to do things because for His sake. And so the much people in the Luke passage that they meet up with, they're going to represent the nations who are brought into the kingdom after it's established. So in the Matthew, you got Moses and Elijah picturing the Old Testament saints that come into the kingdom. In the Luke passage, Moses and Elijah, they're going to picture those that died in Christ in the church age and go into the kingdom. Right? They get resurrected and those get translated. So what lessons can we learn from this transfiguration? You've got Moses and Elias there. Elijah. There's proof, folks, that there is life after death. Right? Peter, James, and John saw these people, and it's recorded. They're alive as individuals. They can tell them apart. They have their continuing personalities. They're going to have their continuing personalities when they're going to come into the tribulation. They're going to be, they're going to have the same things that they had when they were in the Old Testament. They're going to be calling fire out of the sky. They're going to be burning up people. They're going to have signs. They're going to have they'll be able to perform signs and wonders. They're human beings. They're not angels. When the Bible says we shall be as the angels of heaven, right? Talks about that. Like and as in the Bible, folks, are very dangerous words. Very dangerous. These people they're humans. They're not angels. They have a conscience. They're not soul sleeping. They're alive. They're awake. They're talking with Jesus. They have glorified bodies. This is Moses and Elijah, folks. Old Testament saints get glorified bodies. Just like we get glorified bodies, right? They're going to be able to disappear and reappear at will. They get a glorified body. They have them. Now, you know why the devil wanted Moses' body? Now, you know why. Because the devil knows the scriptures, folks. And he thinks that if he could grab Moses' body, that he can prevent the second coming from appearing. Especially before its time. He knows it's going to appear. He doesn't want anybody getting a preview of the second coming. And Peter, James, and John did. They enjoy fellowship, folks, with Jesus Christ. When you die, when you're translated, when you get your glorified body, you'll have fellowship with Jesus Christ. You're not just going to be sitting up there like bumps on a log, doing nothing. They're in touch right now with what's going on the earth. They know that Jesus is going to be crucified. He's going to die. He's going to be raised again. They're talking with him about this in Luke. And I don't believe they look alike, folks. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. And then we'll be done. We'll get done here. 1 Corinthians 15:41. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. I believe everybody's going to have their personal bodies, folks, but glory in a glorified state. I don't think that they're going to have bodies like Jesus Christ. They're going to have bodies in the sense that they're never going to die. They're going to be like Christ, and you're never going to be able to sin. You're going to be holy. You're going to be righteous. But I don't believe that the Lord's going to make everybody look like drones of Jesus Christ. I just don't believe that. If he makes one star to differ in glory than another, and look at all the stars up there, why would he make us all look exactly alike? That just doesn't make any sense. It's not about the looks, folks. It's not about the looks. Nobody cares what you look like, really. But you're going to know people even as you are known, even though you may have never known their name and you never seen a picture. Peter, James, and John, they saw Moses and Elias. They didn't even have glorified bodies. They weren't in a glorified state. I don't know how they knew that they were John or Moses and Elijah. Maybe Jesus said something, but it doesn't say. It doesn't say. But that's Matthew 17, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and verse 7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." When folks, and verse 8, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. If you're saved here today, if you're saved, you don't have to be afraid. You should fear God, but you don't have to be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of he's given us a spirit of love, joy, and love, peace, and a sound mind. Yeah, he's given us a sound mind. We're not to be afraid. If you're unsaved today, you need to be afraid of God. And you don't need to be afraid of Jesus Christ. You need to look to him. But if you're unsaved today and you enter into the tribulation and you don't believe in Jesus Christ and you don't do things his way and you see Jesus Christ, you're going to be afraid. And it's going to be too late. Your time will have been up. If you see Jesus Christ against your will, it's too late, folks. He wants you to look to him voluntarily. And we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, we pray, Lord, that you would just magnify your words here today, the preaching in the afternoon service and the teaching in the 4 o'clock. And we thank you for them, Lord. And what a great thing that you're going to come again. And you're going to set up a kingdom here. It's going to be your way or the highway. And those that are here under your rule, they better listen to you, or you're going to hit them over the head with a rod of iron, Lord. And we thank you for your saving grace. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for us, because we get just to enjoy you and serve you in the millennium. And we're grateful for that. And we pray these things, Lord, for Christ's sake, amen.